The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Next on Life Today, two former abortion clinic directors share their change of heart.
To that woman who's had an abortion, I say, I've had an abortion, and it was the worst choice I ever made in my life.
Uncovering the truth about the abortion industry.
I saw a child frantically trying to flee from the abortion instrument, the suction tube that would eventually take his life.
Appreciate it. Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to the program. It is Life Today. Life is important. We believe that we have made some very serious decisions that are inappropriate and damaging. And one of them is the fact that a lot of people don't choose life. They call it the right to choose. But for the child, the baby that's unborn, there's no choice. A choice is made for them. And if we lose the right to life, we have diminished the value of all life. And I am very, very convinced that our nation and many of the economic instability situations that we face are the result of devaluing life. The book Indivisible, we take all of the major issues facing us today and deal with them thoroughly. Here's chapter 7, Choose Life. Choose life. It is the first right, the right to life. By the way, in Indivisible, which I'm encouraging you to get a copy of, every church, every pastor, every priest, every person in the congregation should read it. I'm serious. Because what we have is body armor for the spiritual battle, the culture war, and the battle for our future, and yes, our security and our freedom. This will equip you. I want you to get it. Choosing Life, we have Abby Johnson with us today, wrote a book titled Unplanned. She had an abortion. She became a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic overseer. She became one of the leaders. But something happened. Her eyes were opened. Carol Everett is here, who ran one of the biggest abortion mills in the state of Texas, several of them, for the sole purpose of becoming a millionaire. It was a money machine. Something happened to her. I want you to welcome Abby and Carol to Life Today. It's a blessing and a privilege to have both of you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's really hard for me to know where to start with both of you, except I think it wouldn't be out of place to start with the fact both of you had abortions.
Yes.
What do you say to someone who's considering an abortion, Carol? What do you say to the very women that you tried to convince it was the best thing to do and even went into schools, told girls in school how this is a way to, you know, be protected and know that you've got an out when you have sex, setting them up, and you even acknowledged in a previous conversation we had here on Life Today and in other testimonies that you actually, through your abortion meals, did abortions on girls that weren't even pregnant and collect the money. So what do you say to someone who's considering an abortion or they've had an abortion? What do you say to them?
Well, to the woman who's considering abortion, I try to get her in touch with the changes her body's making because that body is already getting ready for that baby. And the baby's sending her messages, and I try to get her to identify with that. And the reason she knows she's pregnant is because of those very messages. And when she starts identifying with that, then we can talk to her about there is no rush. You don't have to have an abortion overnight. Stop. Take a deep breath. Let's process this. To that woman who's had an abortion, I say, I've had an abortion. And it was the worst choice I ever made in my life. And if it weren't for Jesus Christ, I couldn't sit here and talk to you today. But because of what the Word of God says, 1 John 1:9 says, if you will confess and repent of your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I stand before you today, still in process. He's not through with me yet. And there's still things about my abortion that come to me every once in a while that I have to deal with. But I know I can say I am forgiven because of his blood. But there are other people that get in your face and say, how do you think you could do this? And how do you think you could be forgiven? And that's when Romans 8:1 says to me, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I stand on the Word of God, not on what people say to me. But I encourage women to reach out, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, forgive themselves, and start the process of walking free.
Abby?
Well, one of the things that I talk to women about if they are considering an abortion is very similar to what Carol said. You know, part of, or one of the reasons that you try to talk to them about the changes that their body is going through is because you're trying to help them develop that maternal connection with their child. And once, you know, we can be out at the clinics and we can talk to them about how dangerous abortion is or the risks of abortion. But when they walk into that clinic, they can be talked out of those. And the clinic workers, I used to say, oh, they're just a bunch of crazy people out there. Don't listen to them. They're just trying to take away your rights. But that maternal bond that a woman makes with her child, that's unbreakable. And so that's one of the things that we are really trying to talk to women about and trying to get them into a pregnancy help center so that they can see their child, so that they can find out the real alternatives and real information about abortion.
Well, you know, I really appreciate what one of our former staff members, Governor Huckabee, he worked here for 4 years, came from the seminary, left school to come work with me and travel with us. And I'm very pleased with the incredible voice for God and for right that Governor Huckabee has been now through the years. And he narrates the gift of life, which I think is just one of the clearest communications of the concern that we should have, the very legitimate concern about abortion and what it is and about the gift of life and how precious it is. Because I think both of you, as we've talked in other occasions, if people don't understand how precious life is, they're not going to protect it. If they don't understand the potential that's within each life, they're not going to value it. And we may be able to change a very bad court decision, Roe versus Wade, but if we don't change minds and hearts,
that's right.
Women who are convinced that this is the problem and it's my right and it's my body, and they'll find a way to discard that body that they discount, is not, don't see as precious and the potential there. I want you to watch just a brief clip from this. My testimony is in the center of the DVD. I think the whole story, what you see and what Governor Huckabee narrates, would be great for the whole church to see, for your Bible study group. It'd be great just to get it and pass it around, and we'll make it available to you. Carol's story is also here. But let me just show you a little brief clip from it.
I had given one child up for adoption, and I was pregnant with a fourth child.
I wanted to be a millionaire, though. And the way for me to be a millionaire was to do 40,000 abortions a year.
When I was 18, I began my search for my birth father.
In today's day and age, there's a really good chance that I would not survive.
She was adopted as a frozen embryo at 2 cells.
A wise decision and a doctor with some conviction allowed me to be born.
And for the first time in my career, I didn't see her wonderful right to choose. All I could see was somebody's son or daughter. And suddenly, this was looking very, very different to me.
My heartfelt view on the value of life, all life, at every age, has been changed largely by meeting people whose remarkable stories have given me a deep personal understanding of what life really means.
It's been amazing to see what a little bit of visual truth can do and how far it can go in getting people roused to action.
And I don't think they understand that we're talking about the personal right of a little child, a right to life.
But out of the corner of my eye, I saw the uterus shake. Immediately, this little fist come flying out of the surgical opening. As Dr. Bruner touches the baby's hand, I fire the first frame.
When you see the picture of your daughter underneath a microscope, and then when I gave birth to her and held her in my arms, and she looked into my eyes and said to me, I love you. It makes the gravity and the meaning of what a human embryo is, it drives it home.
Stories of everyday people who've undergone changes of heart. Stories of determination and of the importance of every life. And stories that remind us that life
begins at conception.
These stories are all around us, and they help us define the culture of life.
I would really love to send you the Gift of Life DVD. One of the photographers you heard, who was a very noted photographer, who was taking pictures and had taken all kinds of pictures during various procedures, a baby in the womb, actually an unborn child, one that was typical of the type that's aborted, actually reached up with his little fingers and grabbed the doctor's hand. And I know that you talked about what moved you, Abby, was you actually had to, as a Planned Parenthood clinic overseer and manager, you had to, on one occasion, go in and look at the procedure and hold the apparatus to present the sonogram picture clearly, and you watched what was happening, and you actually, as I understand, you watched the child trying to get away from the abortionist, and you actually saw that.
That's right. I saw a child frantically trying to flee from the abortion instrument, the suction tube that would eventually take his life. And, you know, to think that that is happening almost 4,000 times a day in this country should move us all to a place of urgency where we can no longer just sit at home and be complacent, but we have to be activists. We have to be advocates for the unborn.
So how do we help people understand how we can make the change? See, you were changed in your heart, right, mm-hmm. Abby?
Yes.
And we want people to be changed, but how do we resist this horrific trend, this deadly trend? How do we resist it wisely?
Well, I think we always have to reach out with compassion and with mercy. And that is what will change people's hearts. That is what changed my heart. Knowing that there were people that had been out there for 8 years praying for me, that's important. It's important that we reach out in a godly and Christ-like manner. And it's important for us to get involved. It's important for us to plug in to the pro-life community that's surrounding you. There are pro-lifers everywhere. More than 50% mm-hmm. of our country considers themselves pro-life. But like I said before, it's not just about being pro-life in our heart. It's about using our mouth. It's about being advocates. And being advocates for those that do not have a voice.
Now, I want to ask you ladies something. If someone is running for office, they're running for any office. David Barton said he had asked the person running for dog catcher, sitting where you're sitting, girl. He said he's running for dog catcher, and he thinks more about animals than he does an unborn child. I don't want him to be dog catcher. I don't want him to win anything. Well, that's a good question, but we're never single-issue people. But there are important issues in the life issue, the right to life. That's the first thing our Constitution is, the first thing our law grants us, right to life. If you take that away, you've diminished all other life and every aspect of it. So should it be a high priority, ladies, for anyone running for office to have a pro-life position concerning the unborn?
Absolutely. That's my first question. And I don't want to vote for anyone that I don't know believes in protecting the life of the unborn in all circumstances. For instance, rape and incest, that's God's business. He's going to use that for good. And we believe that a life is conceived when conception occurs. We've got to stand for that.
Ethel Waters, the great black singer that sang in all the Billy Graham crusades and called him my child, my child. She called me my child. She is the product of a rape imposed on a 12-year-old girl. And Ethel Waters was the child of that. And I am the child of a forced relationship on a 40-year-old practical nurse by the alcoholic son in that family. So God's got a place. And I understand there's going to be some tension and arguments about some of these things. I understand that. But if we see how precious life is, then we see the potential. What do you think?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I will ask people who are running for office or people who are currently in office is I will ask them, what's the last event that you did for a right to life event? Or when's the last time you went out and prayed outside of an abortion clinic? When's the last time that you were there to help a woman who was in need? Because we don't need people just to talk the talk, but we need people to walk the walk. And we need people who are out there and who are willing to put their convictions over everything else,
over politics, over what's popular. My mom says, if you're a Christian and somebody's not mad at you, then you're not a very good Christian. So I think that it's important for us as Christians to stand up for what we believe in, and particularly standing up in the church, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's not always popular. Doing what's right is not always popular.
And do it boldly, but do it in love. Do it in love for the person that you're convinced is wrong. And, you know, that's one of the things, just like if we get Protestants and Catholics to come together who say we believe in God, we believe faith is important, we believe family is important, we believe marriage is important, we believe life is important. How about just those groups coming to the forefront and saying we're going to support these issues that matter? We're going to support marriage between a man and a woman, period, because that's always the way it's been. That's the only relationship can produce offspring and bear the fruit. Doesn't mean people can't live together, won't live together, and won't live in all kinds of, let's say, their own self-serving, self-seeking, self-gratifying way. They will. And you can't force certain things on certain people in their lifestyle. Some people are going to live with their fists clenched in the face of God. But we don't have to, you know, approve it and say, yeah, we approve you living in rebellion or living that way. We don't make it a law condoning it or pass a law condoning it. We can stand up and say, we're going to at least acknowledge truth. And we can do that together. And we can do it with love. We can do it with compassion. That's what we must do. And I believe it's high time to do it. I think if you don't get concerned about the direction of our nation, not just an election. By the way, I think the election coming up is important as any in my 68 years on planet Earth. But you know what's even more important? And you got to be committed to direction. To thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. The weight of your influence, God, on planet Earth now, through us, your people, leaving your imprints, your footprints on the planet, being a light. That's what we need to be. That's what God's calling you to be. I want you to get the Gift of Life DVD. And would you just say thanks to Carol and to Abby? Thank you, brave, beautiful lady, for admitting you were wrong and responding to love and pouring that truth and love out. I want to send you the DVD if you'd like to have it. We have something else I'm going to send you for your children or your grandchildren, the Jesus Storybook. This is the storybook Bible about Jesus. And then Beth Moore teaches every week, Wednesdays with Beth, from the New International Version. And our pastor at Gateway preaches from the New King James Version, two of the most popular and very reliable, side by side. We want to send this to you to say thank you, but here's what I want you to see. I want you to see an opportunity for you to literally be a modern-day miracle. If you want to feel what God feels and bring to pass what Jesus can bring to pass through you, watch this very closely.
My name is Janice. I've been a photographer with the Life Outreach Mission Team for over 20 years. I've traveled all over the world trying to help children in need. Even though my heart is broken each trip by the amount of pain and suffering I've witnessed, I wasn't prepared for what I saw on our latest trip to South Sudan. This boy's name is Lazarus. His Christian mother gave him this name, and it's very fitting because Lazarus needs a miracle.
He wanted to see his picture a minute ago. I was scared to even show it to him because I don't know if he understands what he looks like. And I showed him, and the man said, he's saying, "Who is that? Who is that?" Can't even recognize himself. Thousands like this all over Sudan. We need to help them get a brand new start. We need to help them grow and be children and have fun. All it takes is food. Food. It's so simple. Jesus, give him a miracle. Give this baby a miracle. Oh.
I think God does what we can't do. I'm so glad I work with people who love people like Janice does, and I could die giving my life over there in the midst of all those kids and suffering. And the missionaries told me to go back home, go back to the States and get help so they could do what God called them to do. And we've been doing our best to do it. And you've been such an encouragement to us all over the world. You've helped us do it. Don't stop. In economic challenging times, I'm praying God let us do even more. More. Because you do it. Lazarus, I want Lazarus to have a miracle. I want Lazarus to have a miracle like little baby Matthew had when Beth Moore was praying over a little boy. They said, we'll die tonight. And then Beth Moore went back and played kickball, soccer with that little guy. Little Matthew, a miracle. We need it for Lazarus, Betty. Our mission team is, they got that kind of heart, but our viewers are the key to being able to give Lazarus a miracle and the mother the miracle that she wants to see.
You know, it's very fitting. We should be weeping just as we watch Janice weep, because you feel helpless unless you know that you can help. We're letting you know that you can help. You can reach out to these little children like Lazarus. There's so many more of them, with caring and loving and giving them the food they need. We can turn a tragedy into a triumph. We can help these children simply by getting the food to them.
I'm asking you to go to the phone right now or go online, lifetoday.org, and just make the largest gift you can. Like the missionaries said, the situations in some places, and by the way, there's some real miracles going on in the Sudan. That's where a lot of that suffering is now, is a part that's broken away from the radical Muslim government in the southern Sudan now. But basically, their experience is a newfound freedom, but they've really had hardship pushed on them. They've been persecuted terribly, terribly. And the only hope they've got, and they are, so many of them are Christians, and the only hope they've got are people who love God helping them. And I'm asking you to dial the number. If you can help us take care of 100 kids, give $1,000. Do it. Would you do that? Give several thousand. $100 will enable us to take care of 10 children for the next months. For $50, we can take care of five. For $30, we can take care of three. And by the way, $30 to you might be as big as $1,000 to somebody. So don't think, well, that's not much. That my little, your $30, that widow's mite may be the biggest gift that comes in today. But it's real big to those three children. So I want you to call. And if you get a busy, I pray so many people are called that you may have to just say, I'm going to be persistent, and I will get through because I'm going to give that little Lazarus his miracle. And we've already set things in motion. We want to keep up with him. I want to be able to come back with a good report. I want you to be a part of it. But listen, like Janice said, there's thousands of kids like that. Little Lazarus represents one. One of them that we at least got to be able to put in a bed. Would you dial the number? We have some gifts to send you to bless your children and to bless you because we love you. We want to bless you. I don't know a single one of you that ever give because we're going to give you something. I don't know one of you that would do that. We give to you because we love you. But we're asking you, please make the biggest gift you can right now and help us save the lives of these children.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new international version and new King James side-by-side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I think that you want to offer that miracle. We want to send you the Word of God, beautiful parallel, side-by-side Bible, NIV version, New King James. We didn't have these beautiful storybooks like this for our children, our grandkids. Some of them got in on some of this. This is real special. We want to send it to you to bless your children. Then remember, we'll send the gift of life. This is powerful. Ought to be shown in every church. And I hope you will remember that Indivisible is in the bookstores. Get it. This is body armor for the spiritual war we're in so we can win. This will help you. It'd be wonderful if everyone in your church would read it and then start praying about the issues of concern. Well, again, I want to say thanks to you, Abby. Thanks to you, Carol. Would you say thanks to these wonderful, wonderful ladies who are fighting the good fight of faith. And we're going to win. Thank you. Thank you for putting God's loving arms around those who suffer and believing God for a miracle.
Tomorrow, a man born with no arms and shortened legs overcomes the challenges to live a positive life.
Life is from God.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.